Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Happy Hour, another edition of Happy Hour here with Jonna Spilbor and Carol Pesci. I am Frankenberry, and ladies, how are we today?
Well, better late than never.
That's right. Jonna's latest alias on our Zoom is better late than never, because Jonna was a few minutes behind this morning.
Yeah. But you know what? I'm going to tell you why I was a few minutes behind this morning.
Because trying to tame your hair.
No. I kind of was not 100% honest with you guys this morning, because I texted you and I was like, oh, I'm running a couple minutes late, as if I was engaged in something and it went over. I mean, that was the impression I was trying to give you to, so as not to look like the fool that I really was at the time. Because the reason I was late is I totally lost track of time, was not looking at the clock. All of a sudden, I got like a little tingle and I picked my head up and I went, you know, like if you ever have a dream where you're late for something important, like usually for me, yes. I'm late for graduation. Well,
yeah, or class. Yep.
But I wasn't asleep. I was wide awake at my desk doing some crap. And I went, oh, my God, I completely forgot that we're doing a show. But I caught myself. So there I go. I just outed myself. That's what happened.
That's quite all right. Quite all right.
Well, we're glad you're here.
But I was a little worried about that. So a couple of things I want to talk about this morning. So first things first, I was trying to think this morning about how long Carol and I have known each other, because it's about the same time that the three of us have known each other. And Carol and I actually started working together the year that you published your first book, Happy Bitch. So do you know off the top of your head, was that like 13 years ago, 12 years ago, 10 years
11.
Ago? 11 years ago, so right there, right in the middle. So we've been together that long, which means Frankenberry has been a part of our lives for equally as long. And I have to say that I just this morning was surprised to learn a fun fact about Frankenberry that for 11 years has eluded me. And that okay. is Frankenberry knows what brioche is. I had no clue so our audience knows, Frankenberry is a phenomenal writer and he has a yes. blog aptly entitled Frankenberry's Attic. And so his latest, I think it's your latest installment, which I was reading about, you're a big Buccos fan, you went to a game and you were having a good time, you were talking about tailgating, and I was literally shocked when you were describing that to the tailgate, you brought, you know, the normal stuff we would expect from you, Frankenberry, hot dogs, beer, chairs, but your hot dog buns were elevated this time.
Damn straight.
Brioche hot dog buns.
Well, because it was a special occasion. Now, my buddy Jeremiah and I, when we first met up the street, different radio station, when I was doing a morning show, we all went to a Pirate Met game in September in 2005. And Jeremiah and I since then have caught at least one, if not two, Pirate Met games every year up until 2018. I don't remember why we missed 2019. I had to miss it. I don't remember why. And then the world
you
fell apart.
You might have been sick that year, Frankenberry.
No, that has nothing to do with COVID, because it was before COVID. It was just something else right. came up where I couldn't go. But so this is the first game we've gone to in 4 years. And
wow.
It was a special occasion. And for a special occasion, I thought to myself, the hot dogs deserve some brioche buns.
And they make hot dog buns out of brioche bread?
Yeah.
Where does one find those?
Stop and Shop.
Oh.
But hold the phone. Hold the phone, please. Unless I was delusional while I was enjoying the story. Now, let me just a little sidebar here, Frankenberry. When I do read your, I'm putting read in air quotes. When I do read your blog, what I do is I go to the blog, I select all, I copy your blog into my notes app, because then I can hit speak and the blog is read to me, because you guys know I like to.
I didn't even know you could do something like that, but okay.
Wow.
That's And also, here's a pro tip. If you are writing something and you want to kind of see how it sounds before you publish Frankenberry, because I know you publish a couple times because you got a lot of, you do your editing. If you have it read to yourself, you can pick up where the little edits you need to make are. Just a little sidebar.
Yeah.
Anyway, in this same blog post, while our friend Frankenberry, who lines his office at the studio with Chef Boyardee cans, while he's talking about the brioche buns, did you not also say that you warmed the sauerkraut in one of your cats?
Yes, he did.
I did. And I was, you know, I'm thinking as I'm getting ready to leave the house, I'm like, well, you can't. Sorry. Hot dogs don't do cold sauerkraut. Anytime you get somebody giving you a hot dog with cold sauerkraut, they don't know what the hell they're doing. So I was like, I need something that I can put on the grill. And sitting right there on the counter was a cat water bowl. And I was like, well, all right, I'll take the cat water bowl. So, yes, that's what we warmed up the sauerkraut in.
That's awesome. Now,
I love my dogs. I would do any. I would give an organ to my dogs. I would do anything for my dogs. But I don't know if I would wash out their bowls and then throw my cat and crunch in there. I just don't know for some reason. I guess I could. I mean, it wouldn't be the worst thing.
I mean, I did rinse the bowl first in the sink before I stuck it in my bag.
I loved the whole juxtaposition that maybe you weren't even intending, Frankenberry, from elevating your hot dogs with brioche buns to also slathering them with sauerkraut that you warmed in a cat bowl.
That's awesome.
Do you get it with the peanut butter and the chocolate? Yeah.
That's hysterical.
I'm glad you were able to pick that up there, Miss Spielberg. Thank you very much. And the brioche buns, by the way, you mentioned earlier that that I know what brioche is. I do not. I just know that it sounds fancier than just, you know, a package that says hot dog buns. When it says brioche hot dog buns, I'm going, ooh, fancy. Yeah, I'll get those. Yes.
Because I'm worth it.
That's right.
Right. You are. So, okay. So that's a little aside. If anybody, again, is interested, Frankenberry's Attic, if you Google that, I think it comes up, Frankenberry, or you just go to your Facebook page.
It's just frankenberriesattic.com. That's all. Yeah. Pretty simple. So, and it's attic like above your house, ATTIC.
Right. Just like the attic above your shoulders, which is where all your ideas come from. I love it. So I also wanted to talk about a very odd starstruck moment I had last weekend, which I got a kick out of it. You're never like if I sat here and said, guys, guess what star I came very close to meeting and was all googly about. You guys would guess like a million different people and you would never hit on this one. So I'm going to tell you quickly the story. So you guys know her. We have a good friend of the show, Heather Hansen. She's been on before. Carol and I have socialized with her. She's a friend of mine and also a friend of Carol's and Jeannie's now. And she's just a really good egg. And so she was having a birthday, a big birthday earlier this month, but we were celebrating it last weekend. And she did something kind of fun. Like she brought together a group of girls who didn't know each other. Like the only person we knew in common was her. So it was kind of a fun way to network and, you know, meet new people. And it was great. So the thing that we were doing is we were going to dinner and then we were going to this show that was supposed to combine hypnosis with improv. And I don't know if you guys know it was a little bit, speaking of, you know, we have a guest coming on later who talks about fear. Like I do kind of have a fear of hypnotism only because first, I don't think I'm hypnotizable. We talked about this, but second, I wouldn't want to, I fear being hypnotized because I would make me feel out of control. But anyway, the way this show was conducted is they would call like 20 people up on this stage. And then out of that 20, it was like 20 or 22 people. Out of the 20 or 22 people, they whittled it down to say 5 people. And then once they had their 5 people, this famous celebrity improver was going to come up and the whole show was going to be improvised by these 5 strangers who were under hypnosis and doing improv at the same time. So you can imagine.
Oh my goodness.
Right. The hilarity that would ensue, right? So the celebrity improver who's normally the star of the show is a guy named, oh crap. He's a guy who's in Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Drew Carey?
No.
Colin something?
Yes, Colin McRae, I think his name is. And so that's who I thought we were going to see because he's normally there. And that would have been exciting enough. Like, he's kind of famous and fun. But when we got there, so we sit through the hypnotism portion of the program took a while because they had to whittle down 20 people down to 5. And Colin McRae wasn't there. But guess who took his place? You'll never guess.
Wayne Brady.
Well, no, she said it was a she.
Oh, she.
A she.
I'm trying to think. I'm not pulling anything.
Samantha Bee.
No, but that's actually a good guess. Are you ready?
Go ahead.
Are you ready? And it was the best. It was so fun. Flo from the Progressive commercials.
And no, I never would have guessed that.
I would not have either.
Was she hysterical?
She was hilarious. So her name is Stephanie Courtney. Now, I had no, you know, I've never researched Flo from the Progressive commercials to know her background, but apparently she got her start, obviously, in improv. The Progressive commercials are her big break. She looks like a totally normal person in real life, and she was so good at improv. Like, if you know anything about improv, I only know because my much younger paramour did improv for years, so I know a little bit about it. She was so good at it because you literally are having fun on the fly, and she's doing it with these 5 strangers who were allegedly under hypnosis, although I suspect that they were also improvers. That's just my thing. And it was so, and, you know, taking cues from the audience and asking the audience for, like, to create scenes, like, you know, name a sport that you used to do with your father. And people would be like, bowling or fishing. And they'd have to create a whole improvised scene around that. She was amazing. So now I have a new celebrity crush, and that is Flo.
Flo.
Progressive. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
she was
God.
Just really, really good. Really, like, I walked out of there and I said to the girls, I'm like, we should ask her if she wants to come have a drink. Like, she was that approachable.
Wow.
Even though, you know, she's probably made millions off in being in that commercial, I would think. That's really the only thing I think she's done. I don't know.
Well, it's like Jake in the State Farm commercials. You know, that seems to be his thing. You know, I don't know. I don't see him anywhere
else.
Even
though it's a different Jake when it first started.
Right.
But yeah.
Yeah, what was a different Jake? And Mayhem, although that guy, the Mayhem guy, he's been in movies and TV shows.
Yes, I've seen him in some other stuff. But there's also the, the AT&T woman.
Oh, yeah. And who's the Toyota? The Toyota girl. June?
Yeah, I don't know.
Isn't that funny? But isn't it like you can get one big commercial like that that defines you, and then that becomes your entire career? Like, that wouldn't be bad work. You know why that wouldn't be? Here's why it wouldn't be bad work. Imagine if you were Angelina Jolie or Brad Pitt, right? I was thinking about this the other day. Let's say you just want to go out to dinner with your friends. I want to go out to dinner with you and Frankenberry, and I'm Angelina Jolie. Everywhere we go, right, people are going to be like, oh my God, there's Angelina Jolie. And you can't, like, how do you do that? But if you're Flo from the Progressive commercials and you just want to go out with your homies, right, you can do that and you're not going to get swarmed and swamped, you know? I think it's so, but you're still, you know, you still have a career. You're probably still earning a decent living, but you can do stuff without needing bodyguards.
That's a good point. Though when you're eating, if you are Flo and you're in a restaurant and you don't get swarmed, there's still just a lot of whispering going on and pointing, probably. That's got to be a little disconcerting.
And that's what happens when you go out in New York City with Jonas Spielberg. I can attest to that.
only the people are whispering going, is that her 6th margarita? Is anybody counting? I can't tell. I lost count.
Do you think she's driving?
Isn't that something? But yeah, so that's why I get there's something to be said to be the below.
All right. I have an important question to ask.
Yes.
Is your AC working?
Oh God. Thank you for the reminder. No.
Oh, no.
It is not. And I'm genuinely I'm making fun of it, and I wrote kind of a little funny Facebook post about it. But I'm like at the point where I'm genuinely pissed off. And it's just one more thing. So I think I'm going to take matters into my own hands and call the manufacturer of the unit because it's under warranty. So why I'm over 3 weeks now. So why isn't this thing been replaced? Like, why am I waiting for parts to come from California? The last message I got from my contractor was, okay, the last part that we needed was shipped last week from California. And I wrote back to him and I said, on horseback? Because what's taking so long? Like, I'm seriously, I'm like getting annoyed because I think I'm being lied to and not for nothing. Look, I know there are people who don't have running water. I get it. But I paid. It's under warranty. It's not working. It's been weeks.
All right. So your next email, you need to send a picture of your hair when you first get up in the morning. And then they'll get on it.
No, I don't need to send that. Just Google the meme of the dog that's in the bathtub. It's like a chihuahua and his hair is all bubbly. If you've ever seen that meme, the chihuahua with the bubble bath and his hair is all wet and foamy. That's what I look like every morning.
Or Monica from Friends when she goes on the tropical vacation. Your hair frizzes out three times its normal size.
Or you could take a selfie, Jonna, of a glistening armpit and say, hey, this is what's happening right now. You know,
a glistening armpit.
Hey, I shouldn't be doing this.
My armpits were not meant to glisten.
Exactly.
I don't do glisten. I don't do flannel. I don't do cooking. I don't do glisten. Glisten.
Oh, God.
Oh, my goodness.
The fog on all of my windows every day because I keep the downstairs on Igloo to try to compensate for the upstairs where all the heat goes. That's on 80, 85, which is a big temperature difference. So I live in a terrarium.
You're gonna develop a fear of frizzy hair.
I am so gonna develop a fear of frizzy hair. And how am I gonna get over that fear, Curly? How am I gonna do it?
You're going to listen to our next segment as we talk to Calliope Barlas. She is the author of Phobia Relief: From Fear to Freedom. I read this book. It is phenomenal. If you are dealing with a irrational fear, you know, that debilitates you, an underlying fear that holds you back, you're going to want to tune in and get her book and read her book. Phenomenal. Really can take something that has affected somebody for decades and get rid of it quickly. Good stuff.
Okay.
Excited to talk with her.
All right. Me as well. And that is what is on the way. We've got Jonna Spilborn and Carol Pesci and myself. We will be back with Calliope and getting over some fears right here. Stick around.
Sunday mornings with 92.9 WBPM means you'll laugh more and stress less. Now here's more Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back again to Happy Hour here with Jonna Spilborn, Carol Pesci, some guy, and our guest. It's that time again for us to get to our very special guest. And I know Jonna and Carol, both of you are very excited just about her name. But I mean, we are going to talk about her book and stuff too, right?
Well, and I think part of the reason why Jonna and I are so excited because Jonna has a unique name. I have a unique spelling to my name, mm-hmm. and we've just both been beat. So, and it's all good. It's a wonderful competition. So on the line with us, a very, very intriguing topic. So excited to speak with Calliope Barlas. Among other things, she is the author of Phobia Relief: From Fear to Freedom. It's part of her Building Your Best series. I just finished reading this book this morning and blown away by how easy, how powerful, how effective, and it's actually a very quick read. And I'm a fan of that as well when something is easy to do. So so let's tell you a little bit about Calliope. After one session. Gosh darn it. See that? I was telling her before the break that I looked up online a video of somebody who did an interview with her to make sure I pronounced it right. And so I had it in my mind all leading up until now the wrong way, and now have just learned the correct way. So thank you. Thank you, Jonna.
You're welcome, Curly.
Okay, there we go. So just after one session, People Magazine editor called celebrity phobia relief expert Calliope Barlas I'm in control of my emotions is definitely a skill I'm focusing on now, thanks to you. So interesting background with, oh my God, now I have a fear of saying your name wrong. Calliope, she picked up a golf club for the first time in her 20s. And against all odds, she became a pro. What? Did I do it again?
You did it again. It's Calliope. You got to put the emphasis on the correct syllable.
Okay. All right. I'm good now. I got it. So here we go. Taking a pause.
Okay. Sorry. I'm just laughing.
You can. Because this was Jonna last week, remember?
Oh, yes. Calliope. Yeah. Last week, you should have been here because Jonna kept trying to read it. And it was actually written out. She was trying to read the introduction of our guest, and it took her like 17 tries.
Yeah. So, now it's my turn. Okay.
My glasses were fogged up, Calliope. I had a total excuse for that.
Okay.
All good.
Okay, so here's what's interesting. In her, against all odds, she became a pro golfer in just 2 years after picking up a golf club for the first time in her 20s. And in just 2 years, while achieving 6 hole-in-ones in 6 months. And then as a result of that, she wrote a best-selling book called Play Golf Better Faster. And then when she realized that golfing was not her passion, she then she relocated to New York City. She then wrote another book, which is the one we're going to talk about today, Phobia Relief from Fear to Freedom. Dr. Richard Bandler, that name rings a bell to anybody. He was one of the co-founders of neuro-linguistic programming, which we're going to learn about here shortly. She maintains a private practice as a phobia relief expert. She's a keynote speaker and a thought leader and does in-house trainings for Fortune 500 companies. Welcome to Happy Hour, Calliope Arliss.
I love it. Hey, it's all good. You should hear some of the variations I get. So some of the stuff you said were pretty cool anyway.
Thank
you so much for having me on your show. It's so awesome to be with you and your fans, and so looking forward to share all these ideas with you.
Oh, and your book is phenomenal. So here's what I did. I downloaded the Kindle sample this morning, and John and I are both avid readers. We love to learn and share what we learn with other people. That was the whole premise of this show. And I'm like, that teaser is not enough. So I had to download the entire book, and it's a nice quick read, but it's jam packed with powerful information. I can't imagine people within the sound of my voice. If you have fears holding you back, if you have a phobia holding you back, please listen to what she has to say. Please get her book, because you simplify the process and you make profound change in people.
And you know what, that's what's the most rewarding part about it is, you know, to have a mom or dad or someone at work trying to perform better and to have them overcome a fear that quickly, just within minutes, is just awesome. They're surprised. And quite honestly, sometimes I'm really surprised at the skills too and how well they work. But it all works on how thoughts have structure. And we can talk more about that.
Well, I wanted to begin the discussion with a very stupid question, because this has been on my mind since I started learning about you. I know that you give some examples of obvious fears, you know, fear of heights, for example. But can you also help people uncover like hidden fears?
Such as what? So if it's hidden, I don't know what it is unless they do.
Like let's say, for example, like fear of success, right? Let's say somebody doesn't know that they have a fear of success, but they continually not reach a goal, for example. Is that also something that can be learned through your teaching and through this book?
Oh, look, in some way, people have to know what it is that they want, right? And that's the first question I ask people, even in the book. What is it that you want? Do you want to overcome a fear? Do you want to be successful? Do you think you have things that are blocking you to become successful? So once we know what it is that they want, because sometimes people avoid success because maybe that's not really what they want. They want a quiet life. They want to just enjoy day by day without many stresses, right? Because look, becoming successful takes a lot of work. Right? I mean, you know that. You've got an incredible podcast. You've got this show, and it takes a lot of work to put together. And so some people, you know, they're okay just having fun in life and just paying the bills. So it's really what they want and getting to the crux of that and then defining it so that they can have a target in their future to getting it.
Amazing. I would love for you to give us a little bit of the back it up here for a little bit. I mean, I read a brief summary of what you've done and accomplished, which just touches on it. But what made you want to write this book? What were you hoping to accomplish? What was your inspiration?
Oh, look, I overcame my own fear of public speaking. And wow. And I talk about this a lot because I feared all public speaking. I couldn't even talk to friends, my family. I was so shy. And so I started playing golf and I had this vision on becoming a pro golfer. I didn't grow up with the game, but I knew I had to do it. And it taught me how your imagination can lead your future in getting what it is that you want to be. So, you know, it's been a while since I've played professionally. And just this past weekend, I played in a tournament and actually won. And it's only because I use the skills. I look forward into the future with me actually winning the game, scoring less, and then backtracking to see what it is that I did. And so my biggest inspiration was getting over my fear of public speaking and then just going with it.
And what I'm learning from you through your book is a couple of things that sometimes when we try to really think about what caused the fear to begin with, the example you give in the back is the person that went to see an awful clown movie in their teens and it created a phobia around clowns. And we really evaluate when and how that fear came to be. And what you show us through your book is by doing that, we are actually reinforcing that neural pathway and keeping that fear very strong. And what you help us see is it's not the content as much as it is the structure. It's the function of how you think. Can you speak to that?
I am so impressed with how well you understand this. I mean, you did it. You read the book and you got it. So I can't ask for anything more that you're sharing the crux of it so, so well. So much appreciated. So basically, when it comes to these fears, it's imagining the worst, right? And so the brain doesn't know the difference between what it sees, what it does, and what it imagines. And that can be a beauty of the brain, but it works against some people, because if they keep playing that movie that saw of a clown, you know, doing terrible things to people, then they keep rolling that movie inside their mind. So what I have them do is actually reverse that movie, reverse it, so that if you watch a movie in reverse, you have no idea what the meaning is, right? And so when you reverse the memory of that movie, it loses its power. And so that's when I build in a better response, so that I never totally take a fear away, because, you know, you never know. Someone might be dressed as a clown, you know, tricking people. But if you're at a house, at a party, and you see a clown at a circus, that's when you just want to have fun with your kids.
The other thing that you show us is, so when we fear something in our minds, we make it very large and overwhelming. There's actually, whether you are consciously aware of not, a visual, a very strong visual. And one of your starting points is to actually change how we view whatever it is that we are afraid of.
That's
content,
right?
can be anything. It can be a clown, it can be spiders, it can be snakes, it can be raccoons and your bird feeder. Whatever it is.
That's right. And I mean, if suddenly someone just thought of a watermelon, it would just change how they feel, right? You know, so a lot of the time when people, let's say, have a fear of a spider, it's the size of an elephant inside their mind. But we know that there is no such thing. And quite honestly, you and I would run away from a spider that was the size of an elephant. But thankfully, there is no such thing. So when it's inside of our mind and we shrink it down to the size of a small coin, we lose that visceral effect. Those neural pathways, look, the brain is electric. That's what's so beautiful about it. And when we shrink the size of pictures inside of our mind, the charge becomes less. And therefore, we have less of a feeling about it. So it's really, really cool how the brain works that way.
And something else.
Go ahead. Oh, sorry, Carol.
That's okay.
I'm gonna be the one asking the stupid questions. Carol's usually the one asking the well thought out questions.
All right. So, John, am I keeping a tab? Because this is number two.
Yeah, no, it's number two. There'll be a few more, but
okay,
yeah.
So I'll grab a pen. Hold on, I'm getting a pen.
So you won't need a pen. You just need like your right or your left hand, Frankenberry. That's all good. So
Frankenberry, I love that name.
Now, Calliope, we were talking about your name earlier. Frankenberry actually is my name. It's my last name.
Oh, that's cool. That's a very cool name.
It wasn't cool when I was 7 years old and the cereal came out. But it's all right now.
We like it too. So, okay. So my stupid question number two is when you deconstruct a fear, in my opinion, like whether you're talking about spiders, snakes, or what have you, at the very core of, if you ask yourself, well, why does this scare me? Why am I afraid of this? I always thought that the basis of that fear is always based in one thing, and that is the fear of death, which is why I laugh a lot when in the movie The Hangover, like, did you die? Like, I always ask myself that if I'm afraid of something. Well, what's going to happen? Is somebody going to die? No, then I'm going to go ahead and do it. But you say that people are born with two fears, and fear of death isn't one of them. So am I completely off base? Like, do all fears come from one seed?
Well, we're born to live our life, right? And to live it to the fullest so that we feel fulfilled. And so, you know, I've heard a lot about how people say that the real foundation of all fears is death. And I have to think to myself, well, I don't know that it's really death, but instead that it's fear of the unknown. Because even death is an unknown, right? We have no idea what happens. So I think that with anything, like recently I had a young woman who just gained some fame being in some movie that just came out on Netflix. It was a huge hit. And she has a fear that people are coming after her to take advantage of her. Well, you know, to some extent, that may be true. So I wouldn't want to take away that fear. So she has to be really clear about who she's dealing with, what contract she's signing, just to make sure that everything works in her favor, because she has no idea where it's going to lead, right? It's the unknown. But if instead she does her best to, you know, maintain control over contracts and be weary, you know, when she meets people, she sees a red light or green light. You know, when you start thinking this way to get a feeling from people to see if they're in your best interest or not, you start moving in a direction where the unknown becomes more known.
And that, I'm glad you said that, because I do think some fear can serve you. And maybe I'm using the word, which is why I am like completely cynical, but maybe that's just a version of my fear. And kind of similar to the example that you just gave.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a matter of making sure that there are certain things in life we do have to fear. Like if I'm out in the woods and I see a snake and I have no idea if it's venomous, I need to stay away from it. Right. So does everybody else. So, but if someone's at, like, let's say a party where there's a handler who's professionally trained to deal with the snake, and he says, well, you can pet the tail, but don't go for the head because that's where the teeth are, right? So yeah, you need to fear to stay away from the danger, but at the same time, get over your fear in order to live your life where there is a safe haven for you.
Right. Still want to go out in the woods, just not stick your face in a snake head or, you know.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, fear is not meant to be eliminated. It needs to be addressed if one of two things, it's debilitating you, which it does for some people through a phobia, or if it's holding you back and you feel like you can be doing more with your life, feeling more fulfilled, feeling more joyful, more exciting, and you know that that fear is underlying, is holding you back. That's when it's time to address it.
That's right. That's exactly right. You know, go ahead.
Something else you have done a few times in your book is make me laugh, which is a wonderful thing. So what I would love for you to do is to talk about why being silly and the humor is important, number one. And the second part of that is to give us an example of someone you work with and how you interject humor into helping them get over the phobia.
So here's a really cool thing, is that when you even just smile, it decreases stress in the body and it increases pleasure endorphins. Okay. And all you have to do is smile. And so when people laugh, it creates what they call plasticity. The brain becomes malleable. It becomes loose. It becomes like you guys laugh all the time. I think it's great. You know, it's because it brings a lightness not only to life, but your brain as well, because it becomes changeable. It's like, I don't know if you remember George Carlin, like he's noted as saying he was actually doing his best to make profound impact on people. But he knew that by making them laugh, that's when the messages would land. And so that's why he was so brilliant. And so whenever it is that I take away an irrational fear, an uncontrollable that's ruling their life in a way that they don't want, I always make them think of a future time when they're facing this fear. Like, let's say, for instance, they're at the top of the Empire State Buildings. And instead of freaking out, because most people have a fear of heights, they see themselves falling. Okay, that's like the crux of all fear of heights, or most of them, I should say. And so, but if instead you see yourself, literally see yourself standing away from the edge and enjoying the view from the top, that's when you get to enjoy it. And that's when I throw in the laughter. I'm like, just stand there thinking, oh man, I used to be terrified of this, but look at this view. It's just awesome. And they start laughing and I make them giggle. And that's when the change really occurs, because it just cements, it anchors inside their brain so that what once they used to fear now becomes a joy.
And you did that with an example with somebody who had a fear of clowns. And you started walking through the process to do the visual where you you have them run the movie backwards when they first developed a fear of clowns, number one. Number two, change how big that clown is, make them smaller, make them blink black and white, then go to white, and then flick them away like they're nothing. And then you start making fun of the lack of most people's abilities to do good makeup on a clown. And like, it's hysterical.
Well, and I think that's what finally got her going, you know, because like you mentioned before, you know, she saw that movie. I'm not going to say which one it was, but when she saw it at 16, she still carried it throughout her life at like 35, you know, so like 20 years later, a moving image of bad makeup was preventing her from going to the circus with her kids. And so when she started laughing about the clown inside of her mind and making huge pictures of that, you know, enjoying her kids smiling at her, making fun of her about how she used to fear the clowns and all that good stuff, and having the photos to build the memories of her kids' childhood, that's what really matters. And so she was able to go to the circus, enjoy the fun, and even dress up as a clown herself, which was really cool.
Oh, wow.
She just doesn't read any Stephen King, right?
That's
yeah.
Or watches any of the movies.
Yes, exactly.
It's funny to use this clown example, because first of all, I've never understood. I know a lot of people do have a genuine fear of clowns. I never understood why. Like, to me, it's a weird fear, and I'm very judgy. So I would make fun of somebody who had a fear of clowns. But like, I have family members, for example, who fear things that drive me crazy, like going outside because they fear they're going to get bit by a bug, fear they're going to get a tick and get some sort of disease. And like, these are not, I guess maybe I wanted to say they're not rational fears, but maybe most fears are not rational. And I have never thought to kind of cajole them out of their fear. I most likely will berate them and make fun of them, make them feel stupid about their fear. And that doesn't work. It doesn't work in case anybody.
I wonder why that is.
Just so you all know, not a good technique.
However, and I'm going to give you more credit than you're giving yourself, you are one of the funniest people I have ever known. And I'm going to guess that in your act of berating, you are probably also comical, which is helpful.
I would hope so. I would hope. but it still doesn't work. I have never successfully gotten anyone over their fear of anything.
When you know, read Calliope's book, you will.
So when I talk about, like, I'll just point out that of like, I can, a part of me can appreciate that just like randomly trying to make them laugh about it wouldn't necessarily work, because I have to go through a process to get to that point. You know what I mean? It's like I guide them through this visualization technique, NLP skills, give them the tools that are neuro-linguistic programming, and basically guide them through an extraordinary sense of comfort so that they feel safe. And like one of the things I think it is about clowns is that they're so unfamiliar, right? They're so different looking from everyone else. And the one thing that where we feel our safety is when things are familiar, when we know our surroundings, we recognize the people that we're with. And when things are different instead of the same, that's when people start having a fear. And I think that's where the clowns come in.
And you said this multiple times, you really don't care why somebody's afraid of something. And you mean that in a very positive way. Let's not go there. Let's not explore that. Here we are now. Follow this simple process. And it is simple. I'm telling you, you got to get this book and read it. And you have at the, you introduce the theory, you give examples each time of the steps that you go through, which are not difficult. And then you have an exercise at the end of each chapter that people can walk themselves through it.
I made it as simple as possible so that, you know, a taxi driver to a rocket scientist could do these skills and read it really quickly. Because I know how busy people are these days. And so it was really important to make this a quick process, as quick as it can be, because the brain works very quickly, right? That's how it learns. Sometimes you just learn something and you get it, right? Because it was presented to you in a certain way where you just get it. And so that's what I wanted to do through the book. And so I'm just thrilled that, you know, you got it.
Well, I just can't imagine how rewarding it has to be for you. Your success rate is essentially 100%, isn't it, when you work with someone?
Yeah, basically. You know, I have certain criteria that they have to meet in order for me to work with them. And so it's the sort of thing, just a couple years ago, I filmed guiding people through these tools, giving them the tools, and ended up with like five shows that I'm going to be having online soon for people to view, where people overcome their fear of heights, snakes, spiders, and even the big blue ocean. And so there was only one take. And so like the biggest thing was that the entire film crew was on, right, between the video cameras and the audio, and that it was one take and everything looked right. So you can imagine how wild that would be to make it happen.
Yes.
So it was very cool. And so I hope that people gain a lot from that, gain a lot from the book. I really appreciate you loving it as much as you are. And it's tremendously rewarding.
I can imagine. And I want to add here too, for anybody who's listening right now, who has a, you know, underlying fear that know that's holding them back, or on a daily basis lives with a phobia that they find debilitating, to not beat yourself up for it, because even though you know it's illogical, because it is not about the content. It's you can, if someone has an illogical phobia, and most people have them, I think, acknowledge that it is, but it's still very real for them, that any amount of information, new knowledge, specifics isn't going to change it. It's about changing how you view whatever it is you fear. And that's a structure that can be changed.
That's right. And the less we talk about it, less it gets reinforced, right? I mean, I too have to sleep at night, which is why I don't want to hear about it either. You know what I mean? So, I mean, if I keep hearing horror stories after horror stories, I'll end up living in horror, right? So that's not the point. The idea is to like shrink the horror and build in a better picture of the things that really matter the most.
And the key is in the title of your book. Once you overcome these things that can be debilitating, you do feel free. So it really does provide a sense of freedom. And that's amazing.
You know, having gotten over my own fear of public speaking, I've been able to gain confidence in other areas of my life, right? My writing, my ability to be on camera. I mean, this is just something I would not have done 20 years ago, you know, speak to you so freely and have a good time with your fans. And once you get over one fear, you can get over so many that will lead you into a path of fulfillment throughout your life.
And that's what you help walk people through as well in the book, is to undo that fear, change how you view it. So you change how it affects you, how you think and what you do. And you then, since you shrunk one thing, that's not the end of the process. You then, okay, now let's talk about what you really want. Like, now you got some room here. Now you got some empty space. What do we want to put in there? And that involves your passion, you feeling fulfilled. It's an unbelievably transformative process and book for being such a short read. You've done just a phenomenal job with it. I'm so impressed.
Well, thank you so much, Carol. I really appreciate it. And the beauty of it is that truly every one of us has something very special to share, right? I mean, we were created with fingerprints that are unique to us than to everyone else. The iris of our eyes is so different from everyone else, right? It's unique. And so knowing that, what unique thing can you do in your life to not only make yourself feel more fulfilled, but because of that, make others' lives fulfilling?
Calliope, you are a wonder. I'm so grateful for your own personal transformation, how you've captured that in your wonderful book. We're wrapping up here with Calliope Barless, talking about one of her two best-selling books, Phobia Relief, From Fear to Freedom. I highly recommend it. You have some upcoming programs being released that people might be interested in. Where can they learn? What are they? And where can people learn more about them?
Yeah, thanks so much. If they go to my website, buildingyourbest.com. So right there in just a few weeks, I'm going to have a program on how to play golf better, faster. It includes all the tools that I've been using through the past 20 years and evolve them since the book into video, so that not only can they see it, but they can hear it and sense it and all that good stuff. And I also made a program about how to overcome senseless fears, those irrational, uncontrollable fears that hold people back. And then there's that TV series that I came out with that I've decided to just put it on my own program, my own TV show. And that's called Calliope's From Fear to Freedom, where you can actually be inspired by others overcoming their fear. And so it's going to be super affordable, because I want it to get out there just like I did the book, and hope that, you know, it makes a difference in people's lives.
Well, you already are, and you've made a difference in mine in one morning. So I thank you for all that you do. And I thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us here on Happy Hour.
Well, thank you for having me, and thank you for making people laugh.
John is good at that.
Yes, Jonna is very good at that, even without stupid questions. So listen, Calliope, we appreciate you joining us this morning. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. It was a joke. I did it on purpose.
Oh. Right.
Calliope, thanks so much for joining us here on Happy Hour. And we're not done yet, folks. We still have segment number 3 on the way. So please stick around with Jonna and Carol and myself. We'll be right back.
Live better, laugh harder, love more. This is Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol on 92.9 WBPM.
And welcome back one more time again here on Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello, Frankenberry.
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 Yeah, it seems to be the theme today, since we can't pronounce our guest name correctly.
Oh, so she helped me with one fear. Now I have a new one of mispronouncing people's names.
Actually, you know what? I think my favorite of all the mistakes I've gotten over the years, because I've been Frank Berry before. I've been, you know, any numerous versions of Frank with whatever you want to add to it. But my favorite was, I got a piece of mail one time that was addressed to Fran Kenberry. So apparently I had joined a female bowling team along with Dot and Bev.
Goodness.
Yeah, I became Fran.
Fran. So
I enjoyed our guest very much, but I kept thinking the entire time, I'm like, where the hell have I heard her name before? And then I remembered it's in that very famous song where everybody mistakes revved up like a deuce. Yep. For something else, the Calliope crashed to the ground. And now I'm always going to think of that song when I think of her.
Crashing to the ground.
But that's the lyric.
That's right. You're going to think of a song where everybody screws up the lyrics. Nice.
Yes. Yes. Let's see. I'm going to help you guys out with her name because I looked it up and I can hit this little button here and my phone is going to pronounce her name for us. Are you ready? I don't know if it's going to pronounce it correctly or not, but here goes. All right, here goes. Ready?
Yep.
Calliope.
Ah.
Oh, yes.
We got it right.
Send that audio to Frankenberry. So anytime I was doing the introduction that I said it wrong, he could just dub that in. It'll sound natural. Good one. Oh, my goodness. Yes. So she was fantastic. And I think anybody who deals with a fear or a phobia, even if you have dealt with that for decades, you will be amazed at what her book and her process could do for you. Amazing.
Well, this is a big subject. Fear is a big subject. Yeah. Everybody suffers at different degrees, different times in their life for whatever reason. And to be able to simplify it and break it down so that you can overcome it, whether, you know, you've got a million fears or one fear, I think is absolutely genius.
And quickly.
Yeah.
Very quickly.
Because it's weird. It's like, I mean, I think fears are way bigger than what they appear, obviously. Like, to me, and I could be because I'm nuts. Like, I think a fear of heights is really masking something. Like, I'm just weird that way. Because, and it's strange. Because as a kid, I used to love going on roller coasters. But if you tried to get me on a roller coaster today, I'd be like, hard pass, not going to do it.
Well, I've got a fear of heights as well, you know.
You do?
I have trouble crossing the bridges around here. Like I refuse to go across the Kingston Rhinebeck Bridge because it's way too tall. I can't do it. I can't go on the walkway. I tried the walkway once with my ex's son, Jagger. I mean, we're going back 10 years now. I got about 15 feet out. I got as far as the elevator. I was like, dude, that's it. I got to go back before I start crawling.
Because you were afraid to fall off the bridge?
Pretty much.
It's not about logic. It's really not about logic.
Yeah. I want to be on solid ground.
See, which I think is a metaphor for something else. All fears are a metaphor. I mean, I could be dead wrong. I'm not the expert here, but that's just the way my brain works. But she is very good. And this is something that could be tremendously helpful.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine somebody that's been like had a debilitating fear all their life and then they go through this process and they are. And that's the whole thing, from fear to freedom. You're free of it. Imagine what that would be like for somebody.
I think it could put an end to like OCD. I mean, I think obsessive compulsive disorder is all fear based, honestly. Like this is like the tip of the iceberg kind of stuff.
And something we didn't get a chance to touch on, but that she talks about in her book is if you are a parent and you deal with an irrational fear and you know it's irrational, but yet it's still very real to you and it affects you in a very real way, you are likely transferring that fear onto your child. So there's a motivation there to follow this process to get over it. And that's the one extensive example she gives in the back of the book about the woman with the fear of clowns and how it was limiting her life experience with her children. And that's what motivated her to, and she got over it quick in one session with Calliope.
Wait a minute, I'll help you out here.
Calliope.
There you go.
I said it right.
I know. Just reinforcing.
I was just going to say. I'm not saying, yeah, right? She just reinforcing.
Where were you when I first introduced her? Laughing all the way like I laughed at you last week.
Well, I'll tell you what. You might have botched your name a few times in the intro, but it was nothing compared to like I my fear was that the poor guy that we interviewed last week, Dr. Lieberman, like hates us. Like it, I just couldn't. That was just so ridiculous.
I did think the same thing. I'm like, oh my God, I hope this guy doesn't tell his friends.
I think he was genuinely getting a kick out of us.
No, yeah,
as always.
He didn't feel that way, Jonna.
No. When we screw up, we laugh at ourselves. And I think people appreciate that.
Well, you could kind of tell that the guy became very, very relaxed when he heard us, you know, being silly on the other end. And it ended up being a really good interview. So I think that worked out.
He did become relaxed. I think what got me was at the end, he's like, basically, I'm coming up on a hard break. I got other more important, more professional interviews to do. I got to go.
Yeah, that kind of did happen, didn't it?
Yeah,
That kind of did happen.
That's all right.
Not to take away from our interview today. The one last thing that struck me funny about our interview with Calliope is she kept referring to our fans, plural, and I was dying to jump in and go, you mean fan. Fan. And that's either that's my right. aunt or your mother.
You're being very generous with that S.
Yeah. with the plural. Oh, great. All right, kids. All right. I think that's about a wrap. I fear going over time here. So.
Ba-dum-bump. Nicely done. Nicely done. She's here all week. Try the veal. Your wait staff. All right. Yeah. Thanks again to Calliope for joining us today and helping us get over our fears of ourselves and how we screw up interviews. But we'll be back to try again next week. And you'll discover then if we have successfully gotten over our fears of screwing up interviews. We'll let you know. For John Spielborn, for Carol Pesci. Carol Pesci, I'm Frank DeBerry. You all have a good week and make it a safe one. Take care.
Calliope.
Stop. I'm done.
Okay.
I'm done.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with John Spielborn and Carol Pesci. If you missed last weekend's show or want to hear it again, visit the Happy Hour page at 929WBPM.com. There's more life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview next Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Live better, stress less, and laugh more with Happy Hour on 92.9 WBPM.